Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Wednesday, August the 10th, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KVOI AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our simulcast partners. We are delighted you are along. If you're listening in Globe, in the Globe area on KJAA AM 1240, and if you're in Cochise County, you're listening in Douglas on KAPR AM 930. So together with Globe and Douglas and Southern Arizona's KVOI, we've pretty much got the Southern Arizona area covered from one end to the other. The Buckmaster Show is always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We have live streaming of our show at buckmastershow.com, along with an archive of our previous programs. And plus, thanks to our new agreement with the online Tucson Sentinel News Service, the Buckmaster Show can be heard anytime at tucsonsentinel.com. We are live Monday through Friday from noon to 1, and today's lineup, another good one, leadoff interview. We're going to spend the first 30 minutes, actually, with the mayor of the city of Tucson, Mayor Bob Walkup. 30 minutes past the hour, Jack Chalam, who is the nutrition contributor to the Buckmaster Show, will join us. Then we'll round out the program with a mid-monsoon gardening report from Tucson's most famous gardener, radio host Phil Cedar. If you have a gardening question, please have it ready for Phil. We'll begin that segment at about 12:45. The Buckmaster Show is an interview-driven talk show, and we encourage you to be part of the conversation by calling us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040 or toll-free anywhere in North America 1-866-725-5467. You can email your questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. And if you have a story idea, a particular guest you would like us to interview, we would love to hear from you. So let's begin with Tucson Mayor Bob Walkup on the Buckmaster Show. Mayor Walkup, good to see you.
Well, it's great to be here again.
It's good to have you on the Buckmaster Show, and a lot of news coming out of the council meeting yesterday.
The council meeting yesterday started at 9 o'clock in the morning, yes, and we finished at 8 that evening. So it was jam-packed with a lot of things, Bill, but it was kind of the end of the summer. We're not back to full steam yet. That won't happen until the 1st of September. So we just had a lot of things to talk about.
Would you say it is safe to say that the 9/11 problems, the problems with the 9/11 system, this probably is the headline, 9/11 problems fixed. Is that safe to say?
Yes. We're still kind of researching and trying to understand the very tragic situation of a young girl dying.
10-year-old girl.
10-year-old girl. And so that's still under examination. But there were, Bill, there were operational errors that were made, and there was a system failure that that we're taking a look at. But last night, we talked about this subject for about an hour. Ron Lewis came and talked about training. We talked about the system integration, the crossover, the testing, issues of apparent dropped calls, and have we resolved that, and systems and operational failures. And we gave him authorization to eliminate the furlough days of the people at 9/11 and to bump up his manpower, almost overhire, so he always have a trained group of people that are operating the 911 system. So my answer to you is yes, I feel very confident that it is back on track and will operate flawlessly.
General Services Director Ron Lewis was given the authorization to hire 12 new operators and dispatchers. And a little background for our listeners, the new 911 emergency system was installed in the city of Tucson in late May. It's been hit with technical malfunctions, dropped calls in its first several weeks of operation, and may have been a factor in the death of a 10-year-old girl. So there certainly have been lots of problems.
There have. In every sophisticated system like that, there is a break-in, a debugging period. And the information we got from Ron that they believe that they had it behind them safely to the point where they could start the transition, which means you kind of stop using the old system and start moving to the new system. And it's it happens from a system standpoint many, many times. The person that was involved was a person that had over 10 years of experience, so training was not an issue. And the system failure is something that they thought they had also behind them.
It's coming up on 10 minutes past the hour of 12 o'clock on the Buckmaster Show, the Wednesday edition. Perhaps you'd like to join in the conversation with Mayor Walkup, 790-2040, 790-2040. Let's move on to this High Corbett deal. The High Corbett Field at Reed Park will be, it looks like, the home of the Arizona Wildcats baseball team. You're going to make a formal announcement with Greg Byrne, the athletic director, here in about an hour.
About an hour.
Yeah.
What a wonderful thing this is. High Corbett is a classic baseball diamond. It's been around since, what, 1930, early 30s.
Yeah, when the Cleveland Indians, I think, came out here to train in spring training.
And everybody recognizes that High Corbett is a baseball facility. And I think the partnership between the university and the city, this is another announcement that we're making on a partnership. Earlier we announced that there are some university functions moving downtown, some student housing. There's some campus activity that we're putting downtown. So this is the latest in the emergence of this partnership. But the university baseball team playing ball for how many 30 some scheduled games that they're having, I think is a great thing for this community, and it's the uplift to High Corbett will be extraordinary. About $5 million they're planning to put into upgrades,
and I guess this in no way rules out if a major league team still wants to do spring training there.
Well, it's a schedule issue.
It would be.
What we have done and what the university has said is that we really would like this for about nine and a half months of the year. There is a period of about 2 months in the summer that will be open for play. Jay Zucker of the Toros has kind of said, well, maybe we can sneak into a deal with the university to play during that open time, and then again in the month of December. So there are some open times, but university wants to play ball at High Corbett, and I think the community is anxiously waiting to see what it's going to look like and go to the ball game and support the university.
You are the president of the Arizona League of Cities and Towns. They're coming to Tucson, the annual meeting?
Yes, they are. They'll be here at the JW Marriott the last day of August and then a couple days in September. This is the annual meeting where we talk about how are our cities, what are our resolutions that we want to pursue with the state government for the upcoming year, and just the state of the conditions of the cities within the state of Arizona. It's something we do every year, and we kind of outline what are our key issues.
Well, I think all the cities certainly have one thing in common. They're hurting financially, aren't they?
They have been. And
they all have potholes.
They all have potholes. But I tell you, Bill, if there was a message that we're getting that unemployment is still way too high in the state of Arizona, but we're seeing it begin to come down in some of your major areas. Tucson has dropped off of 9.6. We're down to 8.2, I think. We're seeing it fall. There's a lot of construction going on in Tucson. The housing market has not come back, but retail sales is coming back. So that's Tucson, and is mirrored by a lot of the cities in the state. We're seeing some recovery, but we're still a long way from where we were in 2006 and 7.
You know, I bring up potholes, but it is a big issue. And of course, I know every time we have a council person here or the mayor, we like to ask, are things getting any better?
Well, I tell you, we are, as we finish the summer season, this is the time that you resurface roads in the city of Tucson and fill potholes. We have had about $20-25 million that we have gotten through the stimulus program that are going directly into road work within the city. But potholes, from a priority standpoint, fall behind the elimination of furloughs and getting our public safety manpower back up to the place that we'd like to see it. And then we get back to roads. So we're going to be hurting for at least another year, maybe 2 years.
It's 12:15 on the Buckmaster Show. We are speaking with Tucson Mayor Bob Walkup. We're going to take a break here and come back with the mayor. If you have a question for Mayor Walkup, 790-2040, 790-2040. You're listening to the Buckmaster Show on the home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030, KVOI, The Voice and The Voice Network.
Firo Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Firo Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Firo Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at firoamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting, and you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including five major roadways. With 30 projects underway, including River Road to Ruthroth along La Cholla and the Star Pass Mission Road intersection. Please use caution in the area and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has also implemented transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
It's 12:19. This is the Buckmaster Show, and the Buckmaster Show, very happy with our home here, AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and our Voice Network partners in Globe and Douglas. So we really have, as they say, very good reach, Mayor Walkup.
Well, I tell you, Bill, how many years have you and I been doing this?
You've been mayor for like 12 years. So, and then before you were mayor, we had you on the TV show when you were very much involved with Raytheon and kind of the predecessor to TRIO, the Economic Development Group that was before TRIO.
I think so. And I just listening to you right now, and you said, Bill Buckmaster Show, The Voice. You've been The Voice now for how many years? I mean, it's amazing what you've been able to do over the, 20, almost 30 years?
More than 40 years in the news business. Yeah. Certainly here in Tucson, it's already about 23 and a half years.
I think that's right. I think I might have even given you a copper plaque. Well, I tell you, I appreciate being here. I think you're the about the only show I know about that is really seeking what is the truth and pulling in people that have a role in making this a better place to live. And I tell you, I appreciate my relations with you over the last 12 years as mayor. About this great city of ours, and appreciate what you've done for the city.
Thank you, Mayor. 790-2040, 790-2040, and we hope to have you just as we did with the TV show, with the radio show. We have you on every month, so you've got a few more months as mayor with us interviewing you in that capacity. But it is natural when somebody's been a mayor for 12 years, people start talking about legacy. And, you know, every time we do talk, I always say, when are people going to see downtown come back to life? Yeah. And what do they say? What do you say?
When I say, I've said, how many years I've said, well, it's coming. Bill, it's here, and I think everybody recognizes that the work that we put in over the last 10 years preparing the infrastructure, remediation of the landfill, western part of downtown. Bill, I added up, it's about $400 million that the city, the state, the federal government, and now private sector are putting into the investment into downtown. And I think the next 3 to 5 years, this community is going to recognize that. And I think the thing that I'm the happiest about is that we have put energy back into the heart of our city, that no great city is able to survive without a downtown that is stimulating and creating jobs and a joy to be part of, an active downtown. And we're going to see that, and I'm proud to be part of that.
And you have taken a lot of heat, though, for Rio Nuevo and the money that some say was wasted.
Yeah, and I don't think any of it was wasted. I think the problem people had, I can't see anything, Bill, and I get that.
But there was a lot of infrastructure that had to be done that people didn't see, probably.
Well, I don't know who put a landfill in the downtown area back in the 30s and 40s. But sooner or later, somebody is going to have to clean it up and get all that stuff out of there, and we had to do that. It is now mostly ready to go, and we're going to see a major development on the west side of Tucson. It's underway. The bridge is underway. The streetcar is going over there. But more than that, let me go back to the U of A announcement on the High Corbett. I'm still very hopeful that University Athletics can recognize downtown as a great potential for other university activities, including sports. Sports and education downtown, I think, is part of our future.
You know, we're talking about legacy. I know you're very happy with this civility accord that you pushed with the Conference of Mayors in light of the tragic Tucson shootings on January the 8th. How many mayors have signed onto that civility accord?
Well, I appreciate the question. As a result of that, Bill, I got a call from the mayor of Los Angeles and the mayor of Philadelphia within days after January 8th. And we talked about how we treat each other and are we treating each other with kindness and respect and understanding? And as a result of that, we put together the Civility Accord that I took to the Conference of Mayors 2 weeks after January 8th. Right now, we have about 250 mayors of representing large cities within within the country, representing about 42 million populations accumulative of the 250 mayors. And it's a pledge on how we're going to treat each other. And to speak out about incivility, Bill, and I think we've seen more of that politically recently than I can recall when I first started as mayor. So I think that civility and treating each other with kindness and respect is an appropriate thing that we should all practice every day, all part of our lives.
And of course, people, what happened January 8th pointed out that we do have some lacking, I guess, mental, emotional, and behavioral health facilities. Not enough is done in town.
Well, and one of the problems, and Beth and I are involved with a national organization called SAMHSA, which is Substance Abuse and Mental Health Agency, on what can we mayors do within our communities to help in this prevention and intervention and treatment of mental, emotional, and behavioral diseases within our community. So we're trying to get mayors to take a more active part in that whole process.
It's 12:26 on the Buckmaster Show, and I think we have a caller. Is Jim ready now to go on there, Rose? Okay, Jim is ready. Mayor, slip on your headset there so we will be able to hear from Jim. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, Mayor. Walk up. Thank you. This, you may not know anything about this because it's a small thing, but there is a plaque and a bust built into the wall outside of the Reed Park band shell in honor of Mayor Lou Murphy. Oh. And some of the plaque has been taken down. You can see where it was cemented up in the walls. It had some cracks, and I'm not sure what all was on there. It's been missing for a number of years. Are there any plans to replace that?
I tell you what, Jim, there is now. I didn't know that. And I tell you, Lou is a great friend of mine, and this community loves Lou. And if the plaque has suffered for some reason, I will do that today. When I leave here, I'll go back, I'll take a look at it, and I'll get it fixed.
That's over at Reed Park, so you were talking to the right man.
Absolutely, Jim. Thanks for the call.
All right. Your lovely wife, Beth, now is the interim, is she now the director of this Imagine Greater Tucson?
No, she's the interim director.
Interim? Okay.
Imagine Greater Tucson, I think, is going to be a great success story. It's one of the first in the country where the people have a chance to sit down and define what are their values, to define those values and work that up to the establishment of a regional vision, which creates missions, which creates actions for the community to take to create a better community based upon what people envision as their greatest values. And what Beth has agreed to do is, at least for the next 3 months, is help kind of pull all that together to get them all focused and moving the process ahead. So that's what she's doing. I'll tell you what, Bill, there's nobody better suited than my Beth to be able to do that task. She is really just a house of fire kind of a gal.
You're not the kind of guy to sit on the sidelines for long. You've been working since you were like 16 or 17 years old back in Iowa, right?
I have, yes.
What are you going to do?
I've got a lot.
I know you've got a lot of hobbies.
I do have
a lot. You'll be jumping in somehow in the fray.
Well, I tell you, I love building things. I think I've got to be building things. But I also like to do trap shooting, Bill.
Really? That's right. As I recall that.
And I like to rebuild automobiles and and I'm reading now more than I have on classical history. I enjoy studying that. But I want to make sure that this city continues to move forward to create the jobs we need to put this community back to work. So I'm going to offer my service to whoever the mayor is going to be.
And you also like to ride motorcycles.
I do.
Harley, or
I have done that. I think my good friend Beth would just as soon I'd ride something with a little more steel around it. But I still ride. But
okay, Mayor Walkup, good to talk with you, and we'll have you back certainly for your monthly visit in September. Thanks a lot.
It's my great pleasure.
Thanks.
The Voice.
The Voice. This is KVOI, The Voice of Tucson. And I am Bill Buckmaster. On The Buckmaster Show, we talk nutrition next. Then get your questions ready for Phil Cedar about gardening in the monsoon.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Stocks have trimmed their losses from this morning, but it's still shaping up as the latest in a series of fairly dismal days on Wall Street right now, the Dow down 371 points. For the third consecutive year, the nation's budget deficit is above $1 trillion, adding to the pressure on Congress and the White House to make progress on a long-term deficit-cutting plan. A jury in Cleveland recommends the death penalty for Anthony Sowell. He's a serial killer who hid the remains of 11 women in his home and yard. Britain's prime minister says a fight back is underway against rioters. Extra police are flooding London for a second day to restore order to the streets. Again on Wall Street, the Dow down 379. The Nasdaq is off 71 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at assistanceleaguetucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit Service. With 30 projects under construction, including Tankerverde Road and the Catalina Highway to Houghton and the bus pullout at Ina and Oracle, please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
12:34 on the Buckmaster Show. Still to come on the Buckmaster Show, at about 12:45, we'll be taking your questions about gardening. We're kind of at the midpoint in the monsoon season, so get those questions ready for the gardening expert, Phil Cedar, who does a couple of very popular radio shows, gardening shows. Saturday morning, he's on the air here on KVOI, and then Sunday afternoon. So that number, 790-2040, for your gardening questions, that will be coming up at 12:45. But use that number, 790-2040, for your nutrition questions, because the next segment of the Buckmaster Show, we welcome in Jack Challum. He is the Buckmaster Show contributor on nutrition, and we try to bring in our contributors at least once a month to the Buckmaster Show. And Jack Challum is known as the nutrition reporter. In fact, he's copyrighted that, so he is the nutrition reporter. Publishes a monthly newsletter under the same name, based in Tucson. Jack Challum is a personal nutrition coach. He's one of America's most trusted health writers. He's a member of the American Society for Nutrition and the best-selling author of more than 20 books, including his latest book titled No More Fatigue. How you doing, Jack?
Pretty well. Good to see you, Bill.
No More Fatigue, it's doing pretty well, isn't it?
It is, and part of what motivated me to write the book was just hearing everyone, not just here, but as I would travel around the world to lecture.
I'm so tired.
Exactly. And it's like, I just need more and more coffee.
Yeah, and it's like you'd run into these people, you speak at conferences in London and all over the world, and you get to talking to them, and you say you're a nutrition reporter, and I bet it doesn't take more than 5 minutes, and they'll say, what can you do about this fatigue problem?
It takes about 30 seconds for them to start asking.
Well, what do you tell them?
Well, there are a number of issues that form the backdrop of fatigue, and one most people don't connect with, and that's stress. And one of the things I sort of point the finger at is our addiction to technology. And I love my iPhone. I love my computer. But sometimes people forget when it's time to disconnect, and they stay up too late, or they have too much anxiety about their technology.
Waiting for a particular email to come in.
Exactly. And this sort of disrupts their sleep. It disrupts their eating habits. Again, people don't always make the connection right away, but they end up having coffee to compensate. And, you know, one or two cups aren't bad in the morning, but when you start consuming caffeine in the afternoon and evening, that's going to interfere with sleep, and then you just end up repeating the cycle again. One of the first things that happens when we're feeling stressed is our eating habits slide. We either delay or push, you know, or just skip lunch. And this starts to cause a blood sugar roller coaster. And when we're at the low point in that blood sugar roller coaster, or the high point, we tend to feel very, very tired and fuzzy headed.
How about those sugary soft drinks?
That's a big part of the problem.
Yeah.
And you know, people have a sense intuitively how to get their blood sugar back up after they've skipped lunch. And it's to have some sort of junk food or fast food. And it works, but it's not a good solution. And the solution is really focusing a little more on protein and veggies. And even if it's something as simple as avoiding a fast food restaurant, going into a supermarket, getting some deli turkey, deli cheese, and an apple, that'll help stabilize blood sugar. And most offices have a fridge where someone can keep some of these foods handy.
Do you recommend protein in the morning to get you going?
Yes, I do. And I think a lot of people wake up with either very low or very high blood sugar, and a little bit of protein, whether it's an egg or some leftover roast chicken, is really a good way to start the day because it stabilizes blood sugar. Your energy levels tend to track right behind your blood sugar levels. So if you're tired a lot, odds are that there's something wrong with your blood sugar. And so in addition to an egg in the morning, I would say have a little bit of fresh fruit as well.
Jack Chalom is with us. If you have a nutrition question, he'd be glad to take it. 790-2040, 790-2040. I know in your latest edition of the Nutrition Reporter, you talk again about fish oils and really how beneficial fish oil can be after heart procedures.
You know, the evidence on fish oils is so great that even the American Heart Association is recommending cold water fish like salmon or fish oil capsules on a regular basis. And, you know, the benefits are there in terms of preventing or lowering the risk of heart disease. And also after surgery, it just seems to give people an edge. The fish oils seem to be very good for depression, for bipolar disorder. Again, at this point, there's probably something like 10,000 published studies on fish oils. And one of the drug companies has actually introduced a fish oil prescription drug, but you can basically get the same thing at a health food store or drugstore.
Also, magnesium. Many people do not get enough magnesium.
This is interesting because one of the most common signs of magnesium deficiency is some sort of muscle spasm. Think in terms of a Charlie horse.
Right.
Especially overnight when you're lying in bed and your leg muscles just sort of seize up. But, you know, the same sort of muscle spasm can occur in the heart as well. Magnesium is involved in more than 300 different enzyme reactions in the body. And what that really means is it plays a role in almost everything that's going on.
How much magnesium do you recommend?
I think most people should get about 400 milligrams a day. I recommend splitting that up and using the magnesium citrate form. Other forms like magnesium oxide tend to have a kind of an explosive effect in the bathroom. and the magnesium citrate is just a little bit gentler. So 200 milligrams twice a day. And I'll point out, 2 out of 3 Americans are deficient in magnesium.
Really, that many? Jack Chalom is with us, 1242 on the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040. If there's a particular supplement you have a question about, let's hear from you, and you can ask Jack about it. The problem with too much salt, you know, we keep hearing reports, maybe salt's not as bad for us, maybe it's beneficial in some ways. What's the latest thinking about salt?
Well, a lot of people got confused a couple months ago when there was a study showing that salt didn't seem to make a difference in terms of blood pressure or heart disease risk. And then one of the AMA journals published a study that really looked at the sodium to potassium ratio. And this is kind of like a balancing act. And the other studies really hadn't looked at potassium. And high salt is a problem when potassium is low. And again, the majority of Americans don't get enough potassium because the major sources are fresh fruits and veggies, which people just aren't eating much of.
So some of these studies, the recent studies, seem to upend then that link between sodium and heart disease.
Yeah. And again, the context is that sodium and potassium work in balance. And the problem isn't so much high sodium found in salt as it is low potassium found in fruits and veggies.
Jack Chalom is the nutrition reporter. He publishes a newsletter, I guess, every month, but July, then you kind of combine July and August?
Yeah, we sort of do a half issue in August and December, and that gives us a little bit of a break from turning it out every month.
And you send it out hard copies?
Yeah. It's done the old-fashioned way, printed locally, mailed. And we are experimenting with some email PDFs with overseas subscribers.
Okay, Jack Chalom, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Bill.
Okay, coming up on 12:45 on the Buckmaster Show, Phil Cedar, the gardening expert, is waiting in the wings. He's got lots of good information about mid-monsoon gardening. Get your calls in now, 790-2040 for Phil Cedar. We'll be back.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at splendidoaz.net.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Limb and Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
It's 12:48 on the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040, 790-2040. If you would like to join in the conversation with Phil Cedar, if you have any kind of gardening questions, now would be the time. Well, we are halfway through the summer thunderstorm monsoon season, and so far rains have been spotty at best. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is the most knowledgeable person I know on the subject of plants and all green things, Phil Cedar. Phil is the host of his own garden show sponsored by Green Things Nursery, where you can find, by the way, Phil most days, I think every day. His popular shows here on KVOI are on Saturday morning from 7 to 8 and Sunday afternoon 3 to 4. Phil, how you doing?
Pretty well. How are you?
Good. Any rain in sight over there at Green Things?
Not here, but I can see rain over there in the Sabino Canyon area right now.
Well, you know, it has been a real spotty monsoon. It really hasn't, seems like just a block away it could be raining and dry at your place.
Everybody else cut the rain, not you.
What should we be thinking about during this mid-monsoon season when it comes to our plant friends?
Keep watering all the plants right now. Don't lose any days without water, especially things in pots. I know your wife is putting pots up this weekend, and I'm sure that she's watering them every day, because I'll tell you something, if you water them every day, your plants look so much different than the people who try to, you know, skip a day here and there.
Yeah, she did. She picked up some beautiful pots over at Green Things, and we are not only watering the plants, but we're taking Phil Cedar's advice, and we're making sure that the ceramic is also cool, because as you have pointed out on your show, that that really retains a lot of heat, doesn't it, the pot?
Well, it can go to 145, 150 degrees on your yard, and that's, and in the ground, your plants, the roots are probably about 85 degrees. You're talking 65 difference in degrees. That's a lot of difference in degrees, and these plants never see that in the wild.
790-2040, 790-2040. If you would like to ask Phil Cedar a gardening question, Phil would be very happy to take the question. What do we do about fertilizer? Is now the time to start fertilizing?
This is the time. We do it three times a year, about St. Paddy's Day, Memorial Day, and Labor Day. And if you do it a couple weeks early before Labor Day, it's not going to hurt anything. And if you're a couple weeks late, it won't hurt anything.
Succulents are getting a little toasty, aren't they?
Some of them are. I think succulents, they do really well out in the full sun, but you got to remember, many of these things have problems at about 28 degrees. So you have to figure out how to cover them or bring them inside when it gets cold out there.
Is now the time to buy citrus trees?
This is a great time. Right now we have four more months of our growing season. And if you wait two more months, you only have 2 months of the growing season. You might get a foot taller tree by Thanksgiving if you put it in right now. And all the trees are already established here in Tucson. There's no difference in taking these trees from here and taking them 4 miles to your house. It's different if you bring them in out of California where the highs are running in the 80s. Those plants are going to fry when they get here. But these, everything I've got here has been grown here and established in Tucson, and you get four more months of growth.
And as you know, our program is heard, as is yours, in Globe and in Douglas, different growing areas, correct?
Yes, we don't plant any citrus down there in the Douglas. Or even in Sierra Vista, it gets about 75 to 100 days a year that go below 32 degrees. That's a lot of days. We only average around 20. And we don't average much below about 28. This year was a way off the scale.
What do you do if you've got some citrus in those areas? I guess it does require a different planting, doesn't it?
I try talking people out of putting citrus down there. I just have them put apple trees and peach trees. Those plants don't do as well in Tucson, but they do wonderfully down in Sierra Vista and Wilcox, Douglas.
For Phil Cedar, we've got our first question. This comes in an email question. Alfreda, Arizona, Phil, north of Douglas, rumored to be a great peach area. Is that true for peaches?
Everything around there, you can probably get 50 kind of peaches to grow down there without any problems at all. We can get about two or three types to grow here in Tucson. And I won't say limited success, but if you want to be a peach farmer, boy, you'd want to move to Alfreda and get out of town here.
Another question from a viewer, our listener, about wondering about tomato plants. What do they do if they want tomato plants for the fall season?
Well, you can, if you already have them, you want to cut them back again this August. They look pretty bad right now. They're not doing much flowering. Most tomato plants do not flower above 95 degrees. So if you got some tomato plants that look a little haggard, cut them back about halfway. Pinch off any bad leaves. Keep watering those things every day. Sometime near the end of September, the cool nights will come in and we'll have not so hot a day, and they'll start putting out flowers again, and you'll have a bunch of tomatoes in October, November, all the way to the first frost in December.
Phil Cedar is with us on the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040, 790-2040, if you have a question for Phil. We have another question, Phil, this email question about roses. The leaves look a little bit burnt. What should they be doing with their roses right now?
Give them about another 2 or 3 weeks right till the end of the month and fertilize them. Cut them back by about one-third. You don't cut them back this time of year like you do in January or yet. Cut them back to three or four canes. Take any bad leaves off. They'll put new growth out. when you put the fertilizer on near the end of the month, you're going to get a spurt of growth. And sometime in October and November, you're going to have all sorts of roses again. Once they flower and they're done flowering, hit them again with some fertilizer.
How much fertilizer?
Not a lot. If you have most fertilizers, they have on the back of the package how much you use. Do not use twice as much. This is not like you're going down to the Walgreens and picking up aspirin and you think that four is better than two. You don't want to overdose, because if you have too much nitrogen, you can kill the plant overnight.
And, of course, the plants, people do say that they had, they put a little too much on there, and it does, as you say, kill the plant. We have a question, I believe, from Marjorie. She is ready to go on the air, and she wants to ask you, Phil, about hibiscus. Go ahead, Marjorie.
Yes, I had to take a hibiscus out of the ground because the birds were going after it terribly, and I put it in a pot. And since I put it in the pot, it buds all the time, but the buds all dry up. I have not had a blossom on it all summer.
What do you think's going on there, Phil?
Well, how much are you watering this plant?
Hey.
Every day?
Yeah.
Is it in full sun?
No, it only gets partial sun.
How much light do you think? About 6 hours of sun?
No, probably not that much.
It needs about 6 hours to get those blooms to open up.
It's got to have 6 hours.
Yeah, a lot of these plants are, 6 hours is called full sun. If you're over that, you're still full sun. But at the minimum, things like daisies will not even set buds if they don't get
hours. I was trying to hide it from all the animals and all, so it's kind of in a too shady spot, I guess.
It'll grow fine there. It just won't have much flower.
Oh, yeah, it looks beautiful. And it keeps flowering, but they dry up.
Well, the flower on a hibiscus lasts only one day. No matter how good a gardener you are, that's all you get.
But, I mean, they don't even come out. They just dry up.
Yeah, they're just, you water it every day?
Yes, I do.
You know, how much water do you put? You're not using a drip system, are you?
No, I use a watering can.
Okay. You're probably getting enough water. I just think it doesn't have enough light.
Okay, I will
light find... Light is the biggest thing we need for the factor for getting... Flowers to bloom.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
Phil Cedar is with us on the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040, 790-2040. Your questions for Mr. Cedar. And hibiscus, I know I've got a couple of really beautiful hibiscus plants on the back porch. They don't get that much sunlight. They're doing really well, but the problem is I guess they're not getting enough sunlight, and that's why I'm not getting enough flowers. Is that probably it?
Yeah, go ahead and move them to a little bit more closer to the edge. Where they get some. You can get them out of that direct sun, but you wouldn't believe how much light you get near the end of the porch.
Really?
Yeah, just find a better place for them. It's not burning them. You might just be real surprised how fast those blooms come in.
Phil, are you expecting another very bad winter season? I'm sure you get asked that at Green Things every day about people
lost so much. I would bet there would be not anything like this. We lost about 10 to 15% of the saguaro cactus here. If we were to have this five times in a century, we may not even have saguaros living here anymore. That's how rare this is. It was 112 years to go back to 1899 to have the same kind of event. So these events are so far apart that we'd have to change what kind of plants lived in the area.
Phil, another quick question by email. What about a banana tree? Will a banana tree do it? Will they make it here in Tucson?
They'll freeze back to the ground. They'll come back every spring. They'd be better off in the ground that you can cover them. Or if you have in a pot, get the pot inside the house on cold nights.
And what's a good water
plant?
What's a good water program for the bananas?
Oh, this is something it probably needs in a pot. Water daily in the summertime.
Okay, but they will survive, I guess, huh?
I see them sometimes driving around town where they're 3 feet above a 6-foot wall.
Another quick question.
They always freeze back here.
Another quick question coming in. Good water program for Bermuda grass. It's on an irrigation system.
Probably 3 times a week. Take an old cat food can or a tuna fish can, set it out there and turn the water on and see how long it takes to get about 3/8 of an inch of water, and that's how long, 3 times a week. Bermuda is a really drought-tolerant plant. The way to make Bermuda grass look good, fertilize it once a month with ammonium sulfate, 1 pound of this ammonium sulfate per 100 square feet, a 10 by 10 area gets 1 pound. And then cut it about every week or 10 days, you can get a what they call a power reel or a push reel lawnmower a whole lot better than any kind of a rotary lawnmower. Rotary lawnmowers, they split the grass, and it takes so long to recover. You're cutting it again, and the grass is always in some kind of disrepair.
Gotta go. Phil Cedar, thanks. We'll be listening to your shows here on KVOI.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Phil Cedar joining us. The Buckmaster Show brought to you in part by Flowers Rieger Associates, Certified Public Accountants. Check out Mike Flowers at 2119 East Broadway for all of your accounting needs. I am Bill Buckmaster, back with you live at noon to 1 on Thursday on KVOI. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.